much more when it does. It will even up the score, don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
Dad will even the score.
When love is gone. And the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more when it does.
And when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak.
Don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
There'll be times hard to control, and you'll find you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more when it does.
When it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak.
Don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more when it does.
Good morning and welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. You're live this March 11th. Oh, it's a sunny day here at the Radio Ranch, but I understand there's some rain around. Good morning, Jason.
Good morning.
And good morning, John.
Morning.
And once again, we've got the good weather here. Sunshine and blue skies. Oh, a few clouds out, but it looks like a beautiful day forming up here. And we're thankful for that. And we say good morning to you, Lord Jesus, and welcome. Pull up a chair and join us here. Join us, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Join us this morning. And we say good morning to you, the remnant. And we've got our coffee and we've got our Bibles and got a few things to talk about this morning, but we'll certainly open up first with a word of prayer. And John, would you open us up this morning?
Yeah. Well, Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this day. We thank you for this opportunity to come together and to encourage one another to love and good deeds. Father, we deserve special anointing to be upon us. You give us the topics that you want discussed with your people, the remnant. Father, I ask that you would convict those that are listening, those that may have something to share that you may have shared with them, to call in and to share that as well, if it be your will. Lord, there's much going on in the world today. We seem to see some light at the end of the tunnel, and Lord, we know that that's your grace and your mercy. That's an answer to your people's prayers, Lord, as they cried out, God save America again, and the mighty weapon. So, Father, we thank you. We thank you for this deliverance of a nation. Lord, we ask that we would not fall asleep as the watchman over the house of Israel again. Father, bring us to complete obedience. Lord, we love you with all of our heart, our mind, our soul, and our strength. Guide and direct us. Give us wisdom and understanding. Give us more Holy Spirit. Lord, as we claim this country, the true J-E-R-U-S-A-L-E-M, back to the service of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ. Father, we pray for our enemies as well. Lord, we ask that those that can, that you'd remove the scales from their eyes and unstop their ears, and that they would see the truth. Father, I pray for all these women in this country that are being deceived, Lord, to believe in the lie. Father, show them the truth, Lord. Show them the truth of your word. How that you're a loving God, but you're a God that demands order. And that order is an order that grants a family happiness and peace and joy. Things that the world seeks to destroy. Convict your people, Lord. Let them understand that the devil comes only to steal and kill and destroy. But you came to bring life, and not just any life, but life abundantly, Father. And if we don't have that life abundantly, it's because the evil one has stolen it. So, Father, show us what it is that we need to do to deliver our people, Lord, to remove any legal ground that Satan might have in their lives, Lord, to restore them and rejuvenate them to the service of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ. We give you all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. And the phone's ringing first thing this morning, so we'll go to the phone lines first. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers. Good morning. Are you there, caller? Well, maybe not. The line was blinking, so, and I pushed the button right. Well, the phone number, if you do want to call this morning, 307-745-5913. If you want to call in, as John said, if you have a comment or a question or whatever it may be, we certainly don't claim to have all the answers, but if we've got some insight, if we've got if we can see where the Bible tells us what to do or what not to do, we will sure share it with you. That's what our pastor did for his 30 plus years in preaching and teaching the true, unadulterated, complete Word of God. And we certainly don't hold a candle to him, but we're doing our best to continue on and to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Couple things going on, like John, like you make the announcement for church on Sunday. I'll do just a couple quick ones. Want to remind you folks, we go into 48 of the 50 states, I think, go into daylight savings time tonight. So when you go to bed tonight, you want to turn your clocks forward an hour if you're going to participate in the daylight savings time. We've talked about it in the past. There are a couple states, I think, that don't participate, but anyway, we encourage you to do that. We're in the world, but not of the world, and that's one of the things the world does. Kind of like that banking system. We certainly don't agree with it, don't care for it, but unfortunately, if we have bills to pay and have to write checks and use cards, we have to participate a little bit in that. This next weekend, 91st days, it's the end of the 2016 solar year. And so the 18th and 19th, which is a week from today, next Saturday and Sunday, we encourage you to take those days as those 91st day Sabbaths. And it ends up the 2016 solar year. It will begin a week from this Monday. We'll begin the new 2017 solar year. And so that's just how those years coincide, and when we try to bring those dates together, and so starting at 1 o'clock next Saturday to 1 o'clock Sunday, and then 1 o'clock Sunday, of course, till 1 o'clock Monday. If you can take those as those soldier Sabbaths, we encourage you to do so. We have a complete 91st days packet here that is all the teachings the pastor did, or a good bit of it, on the 91st days, and we'd be glad to send that to you. You can contact us. Our address here, of course, is Scriptures for America, P.O. Box 766, LaPorte, Colorado, 80535. And you still have a little bit of time if you're not familiar with that, if you want to look into that. And then, a week from Monday, starts the new solar year. And the Bible tells us that Passover is the 14th day of the first month. And so that will be coming up on April 2nd, a couple weeks after that. And that's a Sunday this year on the calendar that we're using. And so we're still in the planning process, but we think we'll have a little evening service. We usually do. And so we encourage you to just mark that on your calendar. It's on the Scriptures for America calendars that we sent out. And just want to remind you here, it's still a couple weeks away, but put it on your phone, mark it on your calendar, put a note, put it in your Bible, whatever you have to do to be reminded of those dates. And again, Passover, April 2nd, coming up in about 3 weeks. So we encourage you to mark those dates, to plan on joining us at the LaPorte Church of Christ for an evening Passover service. A lot of this information is in Pastor's book, Solar Sanity versus Lunar Lunacy in Calculating the Passover. We advertised it in the last volume 2 of the Dragon Slayer newsletter. It's available at the website, scriptures4america.org, and we've got boxes of them here if you'd like one to have and to read. And so we'd be glad to send that to you if you'd like, and that's the Solar Sanity book.
Yeah, and we got St. Patrick's Day coming up. And I don't know, it's kind of interesting. Me and the pastor used to talk a lot about St. Patrick because it was just kind of interesting. And we, both of us had read, you know, a fair bit about him. And a couple things that's pretty interesting about him. You know, one of the things that St. Patrick was known for was running the snakes out of Ireland. And geologists say that they've never found even evidence that there were snakes on there, on the island of Ireland. And it was interesting because the legends and the stories, everything goes that he was attacked when he was on a 40-day fast. That's when the snakes attacked him. And, you know, it's always been, you know, kind of one of those wonders of mine. Was it that they can't find evidence because, I mean, he took every little last residue of the snakes and ran them into the ocean? Or was it two-legged snakes that he was talking about? And it's always been kind of an interesting, you know, something to think about. One of the things that was interesting that, you know, he always used the shamrocks, and the shamrocks used those when he was preaching and when he was evangelizing, and he used them to identify and to explain the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And I thought that was kind of interesting. One of the other kind of interesting things is that he went to a town and he was evangelizing, and supposedly he stuck his staff in the ground when he would go into a town, and when he would start evangelizing, he would stick his staff in the ground. And one of the stories goes that he was talking so long, and the people were so stiff-necked and so hard-headed that by the time he went back to get his staff, it had already started to grow roots. And it rooted up and grew into a tree. And I thought that was kind of interesting too. You know, he's known for running the pagans out of Ireland and bringing Christianity. And actually, it's we've got a book called The Drama of the Lost Disciples that ties a lot of that stuff together, and I think that it's a really good book. It's a book that I've been reading. I started reading again probably a couple months ago, and I haven't gotten very far into it, but I've been really enjoying it when I do have time to spend a few minutes in it. And it's just it's a really good read. And we do offer that book. I don't know what the book costs, but anybody that's out there that wants a good history book on Ireland, England, and some of the things that went over there with our people, and I believe that it's true history, they should get that book.
Amen. Agreed. It's an excellent book. Drama of the Lost Disciples. We carry it, and it does. It tells about what today many people look on just as folklore or legends, like St. Patrick. You might wonder, why would this country still, we've been over 200 years founded, still there are St. Patrick's Day parades going on all over. And you might say, well, a lot of the people here were Irish originally, and they were. but this was a way, this St. Patrick, this was a way that these folklore legends that really were true and that come from this Christian background, this Christian man that, yes, drove the snakes out of Ireland. That's, people will, they might remember that much about St. Patrick. Oh, yeah, he drove the snakes out of Ireland. Well, they weren't, as Jason said, they weren't the slithering snakes. They were the two-legged snakes that he drove out and brought Christianity there. And in this book, The Drama of the Lost Disciples, touches base on that as well. So it is excellent. Excellent point this morning. And St. Paddy's Day is not till I think next Friday, but the parades are today. I know there's going to be one down in Fort Collins today. The girls are dancing it, and so it's part of.
Well, and you just take, you know, how it you know, it's all really, it's supposedly the day he died was the 17th, March 17th, and so that's why they always have St. Patrick's Day on the 17th. It's interesting that. For the longest time, it was actually a religious holiday, and they've had to change it because they you know, can't really celebrate religious holidays anymore. They're unacceptable, so that's why it's changed so much to what it is. But for a long time, it was celebrated all around the world as a religious holiday for Christians.
Yeah, and you hear so much this today about tolerance and about culture. We're supposed to be able to celebrate Kwanzaa to recognize the blacks' culture, and we have to pay attention to Ramadan to celebrate and to pay homage to the Muslims' culture. And there's so much about all the American Indians. We have to respect their culture and all the cultural differences. Well, guess what, folks? St. Paddy's Day, that's a culture of white Christians. And that's what's being celebrated today. And we'll again next Friday. There'll be rivers turning green here in this country, and it's part of our culture. So just remember that and understand that. That's what it is. And like Jason said, yeah, it used to be a religious holiday, but now it is just has to deal in with the culture. John, do you have a comment on that?
No, I'm just fighting off the creeping crud.
Mm. We have sure been all fighting that. We sure have. So hopefully, folks, you're maybe attending a St. Patrick's Day parade today. Good Lord willing, we're planning on doing it after coffee this morning. We're going to take a little trip down to Fort Collins, and hopefully it doesn't get rained out. I understand there's rain going on down there, but maybe it'll be cleared up by the time that the parade gets going. I know they'll just march in the parade and just get wet for sure. Well, folks, hopefully you are reading your Bible this year. I spoke to several people that have said that very thing, that they are. They read it last year. Talked to Jim back east, and he said, yeah, I'm reading it again, though, and it is sure opening up. And one thing that he said is, he said, you know, in reading the Bible again, he said, now when he tunes into the broadcast, when he listens and watches on Sundays and just during the week, he said, when we're talking about Bible scriptures and things, he said, now it's more familiar. He said, oh yeah, I remember reading that, or I remember that story about Ruth, or yeah, we're talking about Samuel. That was the guy that came in and anointed Saul king, and he just said it's more familiar to him. And I thought, that's how it's supposed to be, isn't it? This word is supposed to be more familiar to us. And if you are reading, I mentioned to John right before we came on the air here, in yesterday's reading, finishing up in 1 Samuel 15, I want to share two verses here. And it's, here Saul has come up, he's become king, but he's overstepped his bounds. He's done more than he was called to do. It kind of went to his head, you might say. Okay? And in verse 22, Samuel, of course the prophet, is talking to King Saul, and he says, has the Lord as much delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices, and that was because Saul had made the sacrifice, as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams. That means then to heed the word of God. If God says go, you go. If he says stay, you stay. If he says stand on one foot, you stand on one foot. That's better than the fat of rams and the sacrifice to God. And then verse 23. For rebellion is as the sin of divination. Rebellion is as the sin of divination. And another word for that divination, of course, is witchcraft. And insubordination is as iniquity and idolatry. And he says, because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he also has rejected you from being king. And then you read on, King Saul, he goes in and tries to repent and stuff, and it doesn't work after that. It doesn't work. Saul says, oh, I've sinned. Read it. I encourage you, if you haven't read it, read it. I've sinned and transgressed, but Samuel says, no, I won't return to you. And so, boy, there's a full sermon right in there, but I thought this really tied in with we're broadcasting out the Pastor's Jezebel series on Sunday mornings, and this is the Bible defining what rebellion is, and that it is the sin of witchcraft, and that's exactly what our pastor has been talking about. And John, it ties right in with the Holy Spirit messages that you've been bringing the last couple Sunday mornings as well, don't you think?
I hope so.
Well, it sure did in my mind. It sure did in my mind. We have to see, it doesn't matter what we, as his people, think, how we think it ought to be. It's what does the Bible tell us? We had a caller this week that called in. I think it was at the beginning of the Wednesday night prayer meeting. And he led into this, well, I don't think, and I tried not to rebuke him too hard, but I let him know, well, it really doesn't matter what we think. It's what does the Bible say? We may not think that rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, but the Bible says so, and God thinks that. God knows that, and he tells us that to warn us, to guide us, to direct us, to bless us in our life, that's what the Bible says. And if that's what the Bible says, that's it. That's it.
Amen.
Yeah, that's the way it is.
Amen.
It's kind of interesting. I was looking at a bunch of new stuff on, just across the world, and it was interesting. One thing that stood out with me is over in Swedish. They have what is it called? The environmental prime minister or environmental minister. And goes on and on and on, and it says, one of the things, I'm just going to read a paragraph here that really says a whole lot. The car is flexible and it's nice to sit on your own bubble, but the downside is space and inefficiency, Dog said in an interview with a publisher Wednesday. A normal Swedish car is parked 97% of its lifespan, and for every car there are 8 parking spaces and large parts of driving lanes. You can't suggest that that's efficient. Since most drivers in Sweden are men, the current city planning gives space to men at the expense of women, according to Skog. And that's the big argument, is that they're going after parking spaces, and they want to reduce the number of vehicles because most of the vehicles are driven by men. And it's just talking about, talk about an attack and a war on men. It's not just happening here, but it's happening all over the world. And, here's a perfect example of what's going on in Sweden. And it's... it's telling. It's telling. Talking about, we always talk about white Christian males being under attack. And here's a perfect example, but it's not here, it's there.
So even parking spaces are now racist, or not racist, but sexist. Parking spaces are sexist towards men. They hold men over women. Those people have lost their ever-loving mind. It's the spell that they're under, because people they'll read that, oh, yeah, okay, and they'll put forth laws and that's absolutely insane. You're right, Jason. What a perfect example. If that doesn't show the absolute insanity of this world.
Yeah, they had the ad posted, or the article posted several different places, and one of them was, Swedish minister wants fewer cars, and since they're mostly driven by men. The other one was by giving the car so much space, we give space to men at the expense of women.
Yeah, and they tie it all into the global warming, climate change. You know, all you got to do is read the Agenda 21 stuff, and you'll see. And if you look around in your town, you'll see that as well. In fact, there was a huge apartment building that I believe the city owns that was built right next to the new multi-million dollar bus lanes down through the middle of the city. And the goal is, in Agenda 21, is to get the people. Obama's original goal was to raise the price of gas and electric so high that people couldn't afford to live in their rural areas, and they had to move back into the city and stack and pack housing. And, oh, by the way, we've built you public transportation. You no longer need a vehicle. But a lot of these things have backfired. They think they can't mandate it unless it's a law. And they've tried to educate the youth into believing that, you know, cars are bad and it's destroying the environment and everything else. But they built this huge apartment complex, and they didn't provide for any parking. And they could not rent the thing because the youth who want to, who need apartments have vehicles. So they just, in the last year or so, they had to buy another piece of ground right next to it and put a huge parking garage in at astronomical, cost just to make this thing even feasible. So, but don't think that their plan isn't to make it illegal at some point. But
it's pretty expensive.
Well, and with these pack and pack houses, like you were talking to, I mean, it all ties in with Agenda 21, and yeah, people need to read that. But it also, one of the things that that I think is they're trying to get people conditioned to be content with less and to have less and just to be that good slave, you know, and to have that slave mentality, you know. You need a smaller house, you need to be in an apartment, you don't need a vehicle, you can get along with a bike. You know, it's enslavement is what it is.
Yeah.
It is. It is. Now, we are to be...
You know, and they're doing the same thing. They just started doing that in California a number of years ago, is taking away from the drivers and going down, adding more bike lanes and making it harder to get around. Some of those towns, and you know they're doing the same thing here. They put in a bike lane, and at the expense of a car lane.
Yep, they did that all the way down Taft.
That's what I was thinking of. Yep,
they got a turning lane.
You can drive down there, down that road, and two lanes of traffic going north, and two lanes of traffic going south. And now it's one lane going south, and it's at the expense of the cars for a bike lane. And you rarely see a bike on there. You know, granted, it's been wintertime, but, you know, it traffic's horrible trying to get down through that road now.
It is.
Yeah. They put bike lanes on each side.
The taxpayers on the bicycle, do you think they paid for that road?
No.
It was every time you pump gas out of the pump, it's going towards the roads. Then that's where they get the money to work on the roads.
That's the way it's set
up. Yeah, they put a turning lane. They put a turning lane down the whole middle of that road. And it's all residential. So come on. You know, turning lanes were commercial areas. I saw that and I'm like, you gotta be kidding me.
I know.
Bike lane on each side and a turning lane down the middle and get rid of two lanes.
They're looking to do that same thing here in Laramie, all along the Snowy Range Road from that turns into the road that we're on. The whole bit, they're looking to add a complete bike lane on the north side of the road, in the city limits, which is about a mile from interstate out, about a mile out. And I was talking to one of the business owners up there, and he said basically if they do that, that'll take his curb and he has a gas station, and that'll take the whole outside part of his gas station, you know, where the gas pumps are. You can pull up on either side. And he said if they do that, that'll take the sidewalk, the parking, and the outside portion of that. And he said he is totally at the mercy of the city planners if they decide to put a bike lane in. And I asked him, I said, you've got to be kidding me. I said, even in the summertime, I see about four bikes that come through here, and that's it. And he agreed on the one hand that a bike lane would be safer that there's a few more he sees than four bikers a day that ride their bikes up there. But look at the expense it's going to take. It's going to all but shut his business down. And here he is paying taxes, employing people, having jobs, and all this. Oh, well, we need a bike lane. If it closes your business down and gets rid of you and your family that have been working there for, he's the third generation to have that. And the 10 or 12 employees that he had, oh, well, the city planners don't care. The Agenda 21 doesn't care. Oh, we have to have a bike lane here. And that's.
Yeah, and if you won't give into it, they'll use it. Eminent domain.
Absolutely. He said he has no recourse whatsoever. He goes to the meetings. He lets them know this, that they need to, it needs to be some other way. Nope, that's the way it is. So he is completely at their, his complete livelihood, his third generation business is completely at the mercy and at the whim of these people that think on this four lane with a middle turn lane already, that they need a bike lane. Big sidewalks up already. And Laramie, three or four, maybe
windy
six,
to ride.
Yeah, maybe 6 months out of the year. And we're not talking downtown by the university. We're talking West Laramie, out on the outside skirts of town, where there's very few, the little bit of bus traffic that there is, the public bus deal for the school and whatnot doesn't even come out here. Doesn't come out to that area. And so it is. People may think, oh, well, we need traffic. We need bike lanes. We need places where people can ride their bike safe. Well, that's fine. But at the expense of the vehicles, when there's more vehicle traffic, at the expense of businesses that can be shut down because of this, it's insanity. It is a spell that the people, it's what the enemy does. They come to steal, kill, and destroy, and they present it. Oh, they dress it up real sweet to where it looks good. Isn't that what Satan does? He disguises himself as an angel of light, as an angel of mercy, and it's just filth. It's stealing, killing, and destroying. You look at the fruit. What comes up?
Global agenda.
The global agenda. Amen. Well, folks, we have the phone lines open this morning, 307-745-5913. If you want to give a call, it's Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers, and we're coming to you live this March 11th, 2017, live from the Radio Ranch. And if you have a comment or a question, we'd encourage you to give a call.
I don't know if you guys saw looks like that Fukushima reactor is, there's some serious issues going there. I read an article yesterday about experts warned collapse of Fukushima reactor would be the end of Japan. And I guess they had sent some robots in there to do some...
Well, that didn't go so good, did it?
No, they melted. The things didn't last longer than 10 minutes. So they got some pictures, but apparently it shows some structural damage in Unit 2, and they said any kind of earthquake or anything could caused the structure to collapse on top of the molten rods, and there'd just be no way to stop the radiation. And they said that decommissioning it is a dream. They don't see how it could be decommissioned. So
there it is.
And it's interesting too is what they're doing. They're pumping in seawater still to keep it cool. They're pumping seawater into it. Where's that? They don't tell you what's happening with that seawater when it's done. But I mean, the truth of the matter
they filter it.
Okay. Yeah. That makes me feel better.
They use those same robots, right? The melted
and
robots.
And then filter right back in the ocean.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's quite a mess.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, it is.
It is.
Yeah. It's, those robots, and they kept trying to send those robots in and kept melting them. I mean, it was kind of funny because I don't know what version of the robot they're on now, but I mean, before, anytime they even got close, they were frying their electronics and they were frying them. And, you know, these things are costing millions and millions of dollars a piece, and they're saying that in a matter of minutes, they're just completely destroyed.
Hmm.
Yeah, I heard that people within 100 miles of there are starting to have issues too.
Oh yeah, I believe it.
Well, California's up to their old tricks again now. They're trying to pass laws for mandatory vaccinations, calling it medical neglect. And CPS, Child Protective Services, is actually kidnapping children and forcing vaccinations in California. And there's several other states that are looking at that. So if you're listening, be wise as a serpent. If anybody asks if your children are vaccinated, yep, they have all that they need. Don't try to make a case against it. Just be wise as a serpent. I know. I remember one time when I was working for the union electricians, had a woman there who was an electrician, and I made the mistake of basically getting on a high horse and defending the no vaccination thing, and she basically just said that it was child abuse and pretty much tried to continue to bring it up at every moment she could around everyone that she could. So I think there's times when we're to be silent and times when we're to speak out. So
Amen.
I just let the Spirit lead you on that.
Amen.
Yeah.
Well, the phone lines are ringing. Let's see if we can take a caller this morning. Get the lines pushed. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Hey, Richard. Hey, guys.
Good morning, Joe.
Good morning to you.
Good morning, Joe.
I'm sitting here enjoying a coffee with you. And I was pondering a few weeks ago in Genesis, the very beginning, where he, verse 3, Genesis 1. He said, let there be light. I believe that is the scripture that it says it in. And I got to thinking about light and what Pastor Peters in one of his famous sermons years ago said. There's, you know, there were 3 days without any sunrise. So I guess it was what series of message is that? The Sabbath. Yeah, remember when he was talking about there were 3 days without any sundown. Yeah, he was talking about sundown to sundown. And I looked up the word, and it's OWR in Strong's. It's number 216. And it basically means illumination. And when your discussion on the Japanese atomic plant there, you were talking about that, it sparked that that memory. And I looked up the word, and it's OWR, means illumination. And the account of Moses at the burning bush, and also the Ark of the Covenant, and the power that it contained. I was thinking that that God's aura may be atomic in nature, and it's one of the things that we are not to touch.
Yeah, there were times when we just read when the ark was taken here in Samuel. The ark was taken, and the Philistines got it. And
yeah. It
was not good for the Philistines. They were getting tumors. They were dying in just a few months when you read about that. And it does. You're right, Joe. It seems, in our limited understanding, it seems very much like some type of a radiation type of thing. But remember, Moses was able to stand before the burning bush. He was there. And there were times when the ark came. There were times that they could... that they were told how to pick it up and how to move it, and that was fine. There were times that if someone touched it, their life was over.
He got bleached, according to the story.
And so
came back, and his hair was pure white.
Right. And so there are. You're right. There's some interesting analogies there, and it does seem very radiation-like from how we see things are with radiation in a way. Yeah, good point. You know, does that mean that I mean, we're not claiming that the Ark and God is radioactive and this and that? No, but it, in our understanding, it, there's some similarities there. There's
well, in our benighted world that we live in, we don't have an understanding of it, you know, from a biblical perspective. And it's been so many decades now that I've been reading, not so much recently, but in the past I have, and I may have a few pamphlets on the subject of fission versus fusion. And as I understand it, fusion is regenerative in nature, and you can just keep it going and going and going forever. But we were saddled with fission, which requires you to contain spent nuclear material when it's no longer powerful enough to do its job. We got to put it here and rush over here and put it over there in this container and that container and so forth. It's a real debacle, it seems.
Well, good point. Good point. Well,
and I would like to also ask Jason, if I could, would it be possible for me to call you sometime during the week?
Why don't you just call the office and leave your phone number, or shoot me an email with your phone number and when a good time for you is, and then I'll get with you sometime during the week.
Oh, very good, sir.
No problem.
And I also have a point that I'd like to bring up with Brother John. Can he hear me?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, hey, John. A few times now I've heard you mention, and I think you did today, legal ground when you pray for someone and so forth. Was there some place in one of the newsletters that you wrote about that? Because I may have missed it, and I'm kind of foggy on the subject. I wondered if you could point me in the direction, maybe which newsletter it's written in.
Yeah, we're just kind of getting into the... Oh, yeah, absolutely. Legal ground is basically the same thing as when you create a conduit to demons or something. You allow Satan legal ground in your life, or opening the door to something that you shouldn't. You know, mm-hmm. In today's society, that could be excessive drinking, drugs, alcohol, illicit sex, pornography. All of those things are conduits to demons and opening doors. And when we do that, whether we realize it or not, we give Satan legal ground, because he can actually go to God and say, look, he did this. And God's not going to defend us from that, because he's given us free will. And when we use that free will to do things that we know we shouldn't, you know, he says he won't tempt us past what we're able to pass the test. And he'll always give us a way out. Now, that's the word of God, which means that he won't tempt us. And it says that God won't tempt us. God will not tempt us. So who is it who tempts us? Well, Satan tempts us, obviously. But we will be able to resist that temptation unless we, through an act of our own free will, create a conduit to demons or open a door. And once that happens, it's not the end of the world, but it has to be, you have to confess that sin.
Yes.
And ask for forgiveness. That's what it's all about. But yeah, I'm hoping to touch a lot more on all of these things as we move forward, Joe.
And Joe, I think volume one of our newsletter, we've sent volume two out, Testing the Spirits, but I think volume one touches base on that too. If you go back and take a look, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I got a pile of them.
Yeah, it might have been the last newsletter of last year, or our volume one this year, that I think John, in your Ramrod article, that you make mention of that.
I think it was volume one.
And Joe, like John said, it's unrepentant sin that people have. Jesus, you know, he tells us, what can come against, or I think Paul writes, what can come between us and Christ? Can love, can death, or tribulation, or trial? And it lists all these things. And it's like, no. But guess what does come between us and God? Sin. And God is holy.
Yep.
And so he cannot have us if we are not holy like him, if we are not righteous. And so we can get that way. God made a way. He made his law, and his law is right. His way is right. His law is good, and it is it is perfect. The law is perfect, the Bible says, but we're not. And so that's where Christ comes in. And when we believe, of course, when we're obedient to his word, when we do what we're supposed to do, well, sometimes we still have sin. And when we fall short in sin, we have to repent and we have to confess that sin before him. Even James says that, you know, if you're sick, hey, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. And that ties into it so much that if we have that unconfessed sin, that gives Satan that legal right to be able to say, hey, your word says, God, and this person has sinned and they haven't repented of it, and so I can come in and steal, kill, and destroy, and I can be an ungodly influence into their life. And if we don't have that, of course it's repentance, but if we have that unconfessed sin in our life, then that's what gives Satan that legal ground. And
all right. Well, that illuminates it a little bit.
Okay. Joe, we carry a book we've had for about a year now. It's called Doing the Supernatural Works of Jesus by Pastor Everett Cox. I don't know if you have that book.
I remember you have a show with him on
we
there
do.
After the prayer meeting.
Yeah, and and that book goes into detail. It's not just a book. It's kind of a manual. It's a great book. So we have it. If you call this next week, let me know. We'll get one out to you because it's a good book, and it goes into this. And if you remember, our pastor taught about conduits to demons, opening up conduits, things like continue listening to rock music. Sorry, that's what it is.
And I've been convicted here. Yeah. This summer I'm going to run a couple of large barn sales, and I've got a bunch of my old 33s that I spent so much money on over the years, and I can't bring myself to sell or even give them to anybody, and I'm fixing to burn them.
Good.
So nobody else can touch them.
Good.
Maybe save the album covers. They may be worth something.
Yeah, there you go. of course, that might be deviant art as well. So it's something to pray about. That's what part of this is. That's what it is. It's having godly discipline. It's understanding that we are in the world, but we're not to be of the world.
Right.
And to me, it goes all the way back to Balak and Balaam. You know, we cannot be cursed as a people, but we can sure sin. And we're born into that sinful nature, and that's that of Satan that comes to steal, kill, and destroy. It doesn't take much for us to have these albums, to drink too much, to curse our neighbor. It doesn't take us much for us to sin. But we have, like John said,
bitterness and will.
Oh yeah, bitterness, unforgiveness.
Bitterness and unforgiveness, one of the biggest ones.
Right,
that allow Satan legal ground.
Yeah, we will hold on to that, and we will say, I've had people that just like a pastor said, people have said, oh, but you don't know what he did. And I'll get him back. I'll get him back. You know, and even the sayings we have in our society, revenge is a dish best served cold, right?
Yep.
Oh, I'll get him. Just wait. I'll get him. And see, that Satan says, aha, because God says forgive so that I can forgive you. And God doesn't hold. God's not that way. God is holy. He doesn't come back and say, you know what? That Joe, when he was 16 or when he was 25, I remember what he did, and I'm going to pay him back. That's not of God. That's of Satan. Because when Jesus forgave us of our sins, when God forgave us of our sins by his son going to the cross, guess what? It's done. It's done. Now we
Ephesians 4:27 says, give no place to the devil.
Amen.
What does that mean? That was written to us,
yes.
The Christians.
Yes.
That means that there is a way to give place to the devil in our lives. So we are to make sure that we do not give place to the devil.
Right. Don't give place to the devil. Don't give him legal ground.
I'm starting to understand it now. Thank you.
Yeah. So,
yep.
Good point, though.
Thanks,
good
Joe.
Point, Joe, because I know there's others out there that have that question. Give us a call next week, Joe, at the office.
We'll be talking to you, man. Take care.
Have a great weekend. 307-745-5913. Got a few minutes left here this Saturday morning. Want to make sure we invite you to church tomorrow. You can come in early, 8:30 Mountain Time, 9:30 Central, and 10:30 Eastern. We'll do our best to have a scriptural review of the news for you. And we'll have, Jason, are we continuing on in the Jezebel series?
Well, you'll just have to show up to church tomorrow and find out.
Well, 9 o'clock tomorrow morning Mountain, 10 Eastern, and 11, or 9 Mountain, 10 Central, and 11 Eastern. You can find out, and we'll have a timeless truth pulpit from our pastor. And then at 10 o'clock Mountain, 11 Central, and noon on the East Coast, we'll have a live message. John's going to hopefully be continuing on with this Holy Spirit message. I'm looking forward to that. And
actually going to take a break from the spiritual warfare series that we've had the last couple weeks, and something in Pastor's message last week put together some pieces of something that's been bothering me since early January, and Lord willing, I'll share that.
Yeah. Well, John, just in seeing what you've sent for the slides, I think it ties right in with the spiritual warfare messages, because I think it's part of the spell. It's part of that the people don't even realize. It's we read about it all through the Old Testament. It's all in there, and so when just a little bit you've shared with me already in the slides, I think it ties right in with it. You it's your series for sure, but I think it does, and
it does. But it's, I mean, I was trying to go from the beginning, you know, the origin of evil and in Genesis and all that. But, yeah, I guess it does, actually, if you look at.
I think it does. So, it's certainly spiritual.
Well, whatever. Holy Spirit's a lot better planner than I am, that's for
it's,
sure.
It's part of that spiritual warfare that we're in, and recognizing, again, Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. And so the stuff he puts out, oh, it looks good. It looks good to people when people say, well, that, you know, this looks good and that looks sweet and this and that. But it's, what does the Bible say? What does the Bible say? He has much more delight in obeying than he does burnt offerings and sacrifice. And how are you going to obey the word if you don't read it? It's like when we get instructions for something. You know, my children, I've still got smaller children, and they love Legos. They love Legos. They'd rather get a pack of Legos and sit there at the big dinner table and put it together for a couple hours than eat when they're hungry. They love Legos. But one thing they do with the Legos, especially if you've got like a big airplane or something like that, is you don't just, you know, dump out 800 pieces of Legos and put it together. At least my children don't. They know the other thing that comes in that Lego box is a little booklet. And it has step-by-step instructions how to put it together. Well, first you get this piece, then you get this 4x2 piece, and you put it here, and it goes here. Then you do the same thing on both sides. And so it has instructions. And if they'll follow the instructions, guess what? At the end, they've got their big Lego piece, big airplane or boat or helicopter, and they did that this week. They went through some old stuff, got some pieces together, and built up a big airplane. And I asked my one son that was doing it. I said, "Well, did you use the instructions for it?" Oh yeah, did. You know, use the instructions. Found the booklet and use the instructions. And then they have they get what they want at the end of it. They have the Lego piece built. And it's like that way with us, folks, with Christians. God gave us a book of instructions. If we don't read it, well, we're not going to get what we want. We're not going to get what's best for us. And if you've read it before, good. When we pray the Lord's Prayer, don't we pray, "Give us this day our daily bread"? And that Bible reading really ties in to that daily bread. And you know, think, you ate yesterday, But you're going to want to eat again today. You had some water yesterday. You're going to want some water again today. We probably had an Arnold Palmer yesterday, half tea, half lemonade. Had one yesterday. I'm going to want another one today. And that's how that word is to be. It is the manna for our lives, for our souls today. Even if we had it yesterday, even if we read it last year, we need it on a daily basis. So I hope that you're doing that, folks, that you're using the instruction manual for your life.
Yep. Man can't live on bread alone, but
no.
By every word.
Every word.
Yeah.
Every word. And it's a daily type of thing. It really is. It needs to be. And if it will be, it'll make your life better. It'll help you draw nearer to God. You'll be like that man I talked to this week. Hey, when I hear you guys on the radio, when I watch you on church, it's more familiar to me. I know what you're talking about. And that's what it is. It's drawing nearer to God.
Yep.
It is.
You guys, I don't know if you saw the CNN. It's got a new name now. It used to be the Communist News Network and the Clinton News Network, but now it's the Cannibal News Network. They had one of their reporters was in, I forget where he was. I think he was in Haiti or something, but he actually was doing a story on cannibalism and ate a human brain. And there's a whole bunch of people that are outraged by that, rightfully so.
Hey, well,
but it's kind of shows you where we're getting in this, you know, in the world. Mm-hmm. I mean, Deuteronomy 28 says we eat our children.
Yep.
The wages of sin is death. That's the only thing you got to remember.
Amen. Amen.
One of the only things.
But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord.
Yeah. Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Well, man, we're about out of time. Thanks for joining us, Remnant. And remember, these messages are archived at the network website, sfawbn.com. The complete broadcast schedule is there. And you can click on these messages and listen to them anytime. They'll be rebroadcast, I think, later today and over the weekend and a time or two next week as well. And we're able to do that because of your support, Remnant. And we sure appreciate that support. This has become a network, and it is a saint-sponsored network. Our address, if you want to write to us, if you want to help support us, is Scriptures for America, P.O. Box 766, LaPorte, Colorado, 80535. If you want to give us a call during the week at the office number is 307-742-7582. Thanks, and hopefully we'll have you at church tomorrow. Thanks, man.
Rolling, say hi.
Country stolen, keep on rolling over, snake eyes. Fast and free together, make them hells and forever. Knowing the king is by our side. Those old snakes are clever, but Jesus is forever. God's waiting at the end of our ride. Disapproving, keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hides. My heart's calculating, our king will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off.
is proven. Keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand. Soon we'll be tanning their snake high. My heart's calculating, barking will be waiting at the end of our ride.